Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem.
Ecclesiastes 12:1 urges us, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. There is wisdom in living life in context of eternity, remembering the gravity of approaching death. After this short life, we will meet our Creator, the one we were made for. In today's poetic passage, Solomon calls us to live an informed life, especially in our youth. This world is not home for the Christian. Oh, how keeping this truth in focus will alter the way we choose to live today. Let's listen to this message titled, An Informed Life. This is the third part of a study on Ecclesiastes 12:1-8. It was originally preached on August 5th, 2018. This message is part of a series on Ecclesiastes titled, Living a Good Life, Making Sense of the Journey. To hear this whole message and also previous messages in the series, you can visit www.delightingrace.com.
Remember is the word zakar. That happens to be the name of my oldest grandson. And the word means, remember, it means to be brought to mind. And the sense of it is this, that which informs your understanding and occupies your thoughts. Informs your understanding and occupies your thoughts. Now, that's a little more than just, oh, by the way, make God a part of your life too, isn't it? We are to remember the Creator because Scripture and history can inform us very clearly what happens when man marginalizes God. All we have to do is look around. But we can also look at Scripture. And Paul makes this very clear in the first chapter of Romans. Romans 1:18, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. And there he is. That's what he's saying. You know, if you're going to forget God, in order to do that, you have to suppress truth. But he also says in verse 21, although they knew God, you know what he's saying there? This is revealed Scripture. There is not a human being alive that does not have an internal sense of God. But in order to become what they call today an atheist, you have to become a master at suppressing truth and information. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And then verse 25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Their thinking was limited to under the sun. They abandoned the reference point of the Creator. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. There you have it, the history of humanity. And also the reality in which we find ourselves, which is why it is so important for us to remember God, remember our Creator, remember in the sense that He is the one who informs our understanding and occupies our thoughts. And we are called to remember Him in life as early as possible. Because if all you have in this existence under the sun is this existence, if that's all you have, then yes, of course, life is vanity. And you end with verse 8. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You begin with your youth when you have boundless energy and you feel invincible. You feel like you have eternity ahead of you. You look at tombstones and there's a date and there's a dash and there's another date. And that first date is when you are born and you have all of life ahead of you. Then there's a dash and then the second date is when you have that total physical collapse. And if all of your life is encompassed just simply in that dash, then is that not kind of vanity? It is. There's more than that. We are called to remember our Creator from early as possible. Maybe for some of us that might begin today. But we need to know Him by His self-disclosure from early on as possible. That's why Paul said to Timothy, from the Holy Scriptures, you have been taught from an early age. They make you wise to salvation. You need to inform your life in order to make sense of the journey. Here's the truth of the matter. This is what we learn from God's self-disclosure, having Him as a reference point. This is His this is His creation, and it is His purpose, and He has brought us into it. It's so important to understand life that way. This is His creation with His purpose, and He has brought us into it. That revolutionizes how one approaches life. And it is all encapsulated in one sentence in the New Testament, Colossians 1. All things were created by Him and for Him. That is life. And if you don't come to grips with that, you will live a life of vanity. And it can only lead to despair. And so, drawing off a word that he uses in verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 12, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. That is where we are all headed, every last one of us, no exceptions. The spirit returns to God who gave it. You know what that says? That your life, if it's anything, your life is a trust. It is entrusted to you. God gave you your spirit, and it will return to Him. You are an embodied spirit. He gave you your spirit. He put a body around it. And when that body collapses, your spirit returns to Him. That's life. That's your existence. At the very minimum, that's your existence under the sun. Because he speaks again in verse 5, man returns to his eternal home. And here's the problem. Most Christians live as if this world is their home and heaven is a far distant land that they know nothing about. What does Solomon do? Solomon calls us to reverse that metaphor. We live in a far country and home is where God is. And we're headed home. Right now, we're camping out. We're in a tent that's a temporary tent that needs to collapse. And we're going to go home to Dad. When your spirit returns to God who gave it, what happens then? Your spirit returns to God who gave it. And if you have been well informed in this journey and been able to make sense of this journey, then your spirit will return to God and He will say, welcome, enter into my joy. Jesus said as He was praying in the garden, it's recorded in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Here's the question that you must ask. What must I do to live? Because the purpose of your life is to know God and enjoy Him. Short of that, life is vanity. You must be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, because you will return to God. Will you return to Him as your loving Redeemer, Father? And you will know God and enjoy Him. That is life. That's the very definition of life. You see, life is a trust. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words you want to hear when your spirit returns to God. That is only if you have been well informed in life. And you have responded to that information adequately. There is another option for when your spirit returns to God. And by the way, Peter says that in 1 Peter 2, verse 25, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see, enjoying God isn't something you can only do after you die. You can do that now. Being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and walking the walk of faith, it's not so much about all the things you do or don't do. It's about knowing God and enjoying Him. And I want you to think about that. Because that's what you were designed for. That's why God made Himself known. But you must know God as He's revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. Because if you do not, then when your spirit departs and returns to God who gave it, then what are the words you're going to hear from Him? Depart from me. You don't want to hear those words, because that is death. you understand something. As I said before, life is a continuum because it proceeds from an infinite being. Every human being, including all stillborn and aborted babies, every human being will exist for eternity. Some will exist in a state called life. Others will exist in a state called death. Death is separation from God. And when your spirit returns to God who gave it, and then God has to say, necessarily because of his holiness, God has to say, depart from me, then you will be bound for eternal death. You will return to God not as your loving, redeeming Father, but you will return to him as your holy, just judge. And because you determined that your life was for yourself and you lived for yourself and your worship was for the stuff of life, God will, in his sovereignty, step aside and second the motion and say, for the rest of eternity, you can live for yourself. And that will be vanity and despair. It will be abject loneliness as your self-centered soul feels the burn of God's consuming holiness. One option is success, the other is vanity. Success means when your spirit returns to God to give it, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Vanity is when your spirit returns to God who gave it, he has to say, depart from me. This is why Isaiah said, the Lord said in Isaiah 45:22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no other. Turn to me and be saved. That's why I said it's your call. God has given the information. Are you responding to that?
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.